nod in now, please. So the title is I Surrender. Can we just have the lights down? So let's see the first slide. Now, when I was little, if ever I saw a white flag, it was always a cowboy in Indian films. We don't see any of them on the telly anymore, but there was always a point where someone, little white flag, would come out waving, and they obviously knew then that they were surrendering. So I picked that because it made me laugh. It made me think about, again, when I was younger and watching films. Slide two. There's two sides to surrendering. There's a natural side, to give yourself over to a higher power, to give up completely, agree to forgo things, especially in favour of another. That's one meaning. But I'd like to talk about the spiritual side. To feel, not just in your head, but in your whole body, your heart, your soul, and allow that feeling to express itself through you when you surrender. Now, we always think of surrender as you lose something when you surrender. You give something up and you're the poorer after it. I thank God because he's got, you know, we know about upside down thinking. And what upside down thinking means is that you don't lose. So you see the last two words on there, what does it say? So when you surrender, you don't lose, you live. When you give stuff over to God, you have more. It's kind of an upside down thinking that you have more and you live. Okay, next slide. Oh, that's not come through very well. But basically, it's saying that when the moment of surrender is when then you live. I don't know why that's not come through very clear, but it doesn't matter. Slide four. I thought this sort of expressed quite a lot. When we surrender, quite often, that breaks the chains. You've got habits. You've got stuff where your life's not sorted. Look at that picture. That's a great picture. Chains are broken. That's what God does in surrender. He breaks those chains. Slide number five, please. So I put there, what are you a slave to? And then that's Romans 6, verse 16. Don't you realise that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. So we choose. God didn't make us a robot. God didn't make us a robot. He gave us choice. We all choose. Slide number six. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes our choices don't put us in good places. And what that's saying is make better choices. And the temptation, the enemy will go. The enemy's looking all the time for a foothold. If you don't give him one, if you shut the door, he can't get in. The next slide, please. So I was thinking about what happens to us. What happens to us? Sometimes we have a wobble. You heard that phrase, they're having a wobble. As Christians, we can have a wobble. We're not perfect. We can have a wobble. And this is a scripture that will help when we have a wobble. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. What do you get when you sit on the fence? Splinters. You sit on a fence, you get splinters. God said, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you hot, I want you cold. Have you been a wobbly Christian? I'm sure every one of us could put our hands up and say, yeah, I've been a Christian, I've had a wobble, I've been a wobbly Christian. I've been tossed about, it talks about in James. What stops us from wobbling? Next slide, please, Kane. So I put there, in order to surrender your heart, body and soul to God, you must be willing to yield to the sovereign King of Kings. We serve the King of Kings. The overwhelming feeling I got in the worship about 2 weeks ago was God is sovereign, God is King of Kings, God is Lord of Lords, God is faithful. I got this overwhelming impression as I was in the meeting. God is everything. And it was a brilliant reminder. We get used to it. We get used to it as Christians. God has a sovereign claim of a righteous God. What is that claim? God's got a claim on you. What is that claim? Next slide. When man was separated from God at the beginning of creation through disobedience, there's a lot of talk about the world and about things like global warming and things going wrong, and children are having a really tough time because they're being told all these negative things. I'm not going to talk about whether they're true or not. I'm not going to talk about that. But what I am going to say is that at the point when mankind disobeyed God at the very beginning in Genesis, that's when the world started to decay. At that point, the world was a different place than what God had created. As soon as sin entered the world, it was a different place. There's death there, sickness there, disease, and the earth's decay. And that sin of man wanting his own way and not doing as God had asked was when sin came into the world. And we became separate from a holy God because of that sin. That sin was a barrier between us and God. And that relationship, I'm so thankful, it needed to be restored. And the good news is, spoke last time I was up about good news, is that God has made provision for man to be reconciled to himself. And that provision is found once and for all, that sacrifice made by his son Jesus on the cross. What an amazing sacrifice to reconcile mankind. One man brought in sin, and God's son brought in freedom. Next slide. I found this and I thought that expresses it really well, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. That's the scripture you usually see at football matches, isn't it? On a placard, quite often at football matches. Next slide, please, Kane. So I'll put that picture back up because, again, it still expresses soul. So at the point when sin entered, the soul and God is turned off. There's not a communication there. Until we communicate with God and give him everything. And then we have a voice and we can sense God inside of us. And God starts to change us. Don't be surprised, some of you that are new are coming to church, that God will change you, and he changes you from the inside out. And what he starts, he will finish. The enemy will tell you that you're no good and that you can't do this and all these things, but God has promised that what he starts, he will finish. So when you have those doubts and you have those wobbly times, just say, what you started, God, you're going to finish. That's the word of God. Next slide. Just as God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we are made heart and mind, so thinking, emotions, physical body and soul. And we spoke about that a few weeks ago. But I want to say that God being Lord can't happen in just one area. So it doesn't just happen that when we say Lord, Lord, you're Lord of my body. When we say Lord, he's not just Lord of my mind. And when we say Lord, he's not just Lord of my soul. He's got to be the Lord of all three. He's got to be the Lord of all three. And if he isn't, then you are going to have a wobbly life, because he has to be Lord of all those three things, not four fingers, three things in our lives. Because if not, then we're double-minded and we're confused. So if you're double-minded and confused, talk to us. Okay. We have to surrender everything. Next slide, please. So surrender is an ongoing process. I wish it was that easy that you come to God and it's done. Wouldn't that be easy? You come to God, you pray the prayer, it comes into your life, he radically changes you and it's done. It's not like that, is it? It's an ongoing process. And that surrendering of heart, body, mind, it's continually. But it begins the moment we say, yes, God, I want to change. Yes, God, come inside my life. Yes, God, change me. I'm sorry, God, for all the things I've done wrong. Because then you begin to be a child of God. And that continues until he takes you home or till he comes again. Next slide, Cain. So this morning, Christians, it's an ongoing process. It's one of growth. It's one of grace. It's one of knowledge. And the knowledge comes from studying God's word. Christian, if you're not studying God's word, you won't be growing. You won't be growing. You're treading water. Choosing to apply divine viewpoint to life on a daily basis, sometimes moment by moment. I'm moment by moment. Living life has many challenges. And you heard me speak the other week about when you're driving and you're in the traffic and somebody suddenly does a U-turn in front of you. Somebody comes on the outside of you, suddenly drives past you and then goes left. And you're thinking, oh, I've not hit them, I don't know. And Christians, your most challenging time is about what you speak. Your most challenging time is what you speak. I had a situation the other day where someone where I live really spoke to me in a really difficult way. And I could have reacted back as they spoke to me. I could have. Because it would have been legitimate. Would have been a legitimate response. But you know, I didn't. And I spoke back to them in a gentle tone. I wasn't rude. Later on, as I went back to my car to go to work, they came out again. They had another go at me. And I'm like, okay. So I remained the same and I said the same thing. And then I prayed. Went to work. I was a little bit, when I went to work, because it's not nice. Somebody has a real verbal go at you. It does affect you. And that night, I prayed. I prayed the next morning when I got up. And do you know what happened today? I left my house. And as I left my house to come to church, this man was on the other side of the road. So I said, good morning. He looked up. He didn't speak to me. So I thought, Lord, what do I do? So I carried on driving. And he was walking. And I come to the point where I was next to him. And I wound my window down and I went, good morning. I said, I don't want you and me to fall out. And I put my hand out the window and he shook my hand and said, I don't either, I'm sorry. That was on the way to church this morning. Because I don't want the enemy to have a foothold. I don't want the enemy. I've been praying for my neighbours for about 18 months. So where's the vulnerability going to come from? If I've been praying for my neighbours, walking past their houses, praying for the people who live inside, where's the opposition going to come from? From a neighbour, possibly. From a situation where I feel quite burdened about my neighbours. But this morning, I put my hand outside the window and shook his hand. I said, I don't want us to fall out. I've known you too long. And he said, I don't either. I'm sorry. So our God's a God of reconciliation. So, living this life has many challenges. We're challenged all the time. How we react and how we speak. Verbal conversation is particularly important. People are angry. People are very angry. And they're more likely to say what they think. But I'm going to say something now. I'm going to be very strong on this. And I know I've got Mark's backing. If in this congregation or people in the church, we hear stuff that's not said right, we will challenge you. We will challenge you. We'll come and do it in love and respect, but we will speak to you about it. Because that is where the enemy will come in. That's where there'll be disunity. And we have a very, very strong responsibility for those who come in here who are not Christians, who use us all the time, every day. So if we have a Christian who's not saying things right, we will speak to that person and we will be strong on it. Because our witness has got to be 100% correct. Doesn't mean we're not 100% correct. We're not perfect, but our witness has got to be 100% correct, and we will act on it. Next slide. Surrendering means every part of us. I've just touched on some of that. If you want to read about the tongue, the best book in the Bible to read about the tongue is James, because our tongues can just run away with us. So read James 3. Christian conversation has always got to build up, has always got to encourage. Our words are powerful. Okay, next slide. Surrender secures your future. So I know there's some of you where you don't know where your future's going to be or what God's got planned for you, but in surrender, there is security for your future. When you surrender your will and your heart and your soul, as you surrender and give yourselves, you don't lose yourself. You actually find yourself. So those of you that are in recovery, you will find yourself in your surrender. The life you live now will be His, and He's got plans for you. So the offer of surrender is so important, because we all need to have a relationship with God in this life. And we're talking about this the other day. The way I always talk to people about having a relationship with God is, if I have a relationship with God now, then as I move into the next phase, I'll have that relationship with God. And that's how I talk to people about relationship with God, that you literally have a relationship now, and then we will carry on that relationship into eternity. Okay. Is that my last slide, Kane? So I just want to say this morning, surrender. You won't lose yourself, but you'll find yourself. But most importantly, you find yourself in God. Okay, thank you.